This morning, our scripture lesson is Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water?" And they obey him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus was tough on the disciples. I mean, it's easy for us to read the gospel accounts and to wonder, what was it with these guys? Why couldn't they get it? But if we look at the accounts from their point of view, at least speaking for myself, I must confess that had I been in the place of the disciples without the hindsight of 20 centuries of the Bible and Christian history, I probably would have responded the same way. Many of the disciples were fishermen. Others lived in towns surrounding the lakes. They were quite aware of the nature of sudden and deadly storms. So does it not stand to reason that if you're in a boat far from shore, the winds are raging, the water is battering the boat is taking on water at a rapid rate, perhaps one might experience some apprehension? Maybe you wouldn't, but I would. Such was the situation the disciples faced. But let's give them some credit. When the storm struck, the boat appeared that it would surely sink. They cried out to Jesus. And the disciples were amazed that the most fierce physical force of nature for the disciples was subdued at the command of Jesus. He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I remind you that in the Bible, the sea, particularly a stormy sea, is symbolic of chaos. After calming the storm, Jesus asked, "Where's your faith? Where is your faith?" I hope your faith is the heartbeat of your life and that your faith determines who you are and what you do from your most private thoughts to your most public actions. I hope when you have a decision to make that seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit comes naturally and that you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit first, not after everything else has failed. I hope that when you experience the joys of life, that it is virtually reflex to thank God for God's blessings. I hope that when the chaos of life strikes, that though it is scary and though it is tough, you don't panic because you know who controls the universe. I do hope your faith is the heartbeat of your life, but unfortunately for too many, Faith is like Gracie in one of the routines of George Burns and Gracie Allen's radio show between 1936 and 1950. I know this is before all of your time, but George Burns and Gracie Allen's radio show ran from 1936 to 1950. Well, in one of those spots, Gracie was very, very frustrated. She had purchased a brand new clock and it kept losing time. Now remember, this is between 1936 and 1950. So she calls a repairman and the repairman actually comes out to the house. So the repairman comes out to the house and he quickly surmises the problem, and I bet you've guessed it already. Gracie did not have the electric clock plugged in. And when this was pointed out to her, she responded, "I know that. I don't want to waste the electricity, so I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is." Like Gracie's clock, our faith is intended to be plugged in all of the time. But for far too many, though both those who claim to be Christians and for nominal believers alike, faith is for emergencies. Faith is for when we need it. Otherwise, it's put on a shelf, unnoticed, and we don't think about it. And then such persons become frustrated when they do not find their faith sufficient to resolve their situations. Is your faith the heartbeat of your life? Or is it on the shelf for emergencies? And when you feel you need it? Related to that thought, the level to which faith is active in one's life greatly affects the level of calm we're able to experience during life's chaotic periods. Some may respond, "What chaotic periods? My life is nothing but chaos." But when you're in the chaos, to what or to whom do you turn? While waiting for his wife to finish some Christmas shopping, and you know, believe it or not, we're going to be moving into the fourth quarter in about a week. It's going to come up faster than we realize. But while Bob was waiting on his wife to finish some Christmas shopping, he sat down on a bench like so many of us husbands do, and he read an article about stress relief. And the article suggested that inner peace can be achieved through finishing things that we've started. So Bob decided he would immediately start applying that strategy during the stressful holiday season. A few days later, he commented that he thought it was working. Since reading the article, he said, "I have started and finished a bag of chips, a pumpkin pie, and a box of chocolates. I feel better already." Have most of us not been there? I would not be surprised if we've not all been there. Perhaps life was just hectic. Perhaps we faced personally life-altering issues. But the point is, when the storm raged, we sought peace in quick and what turned out to be temporary fixes, which turned out to be shallow at best, harmful at the worst. But in the midst of the chaos, it's easy to turn to something we think will make us feel better, because when we're in pain, what do we want? We want to get out of that pain. Believe me, when I have a kidney stone attack, I mean, not the little ones that I just take ibuprofen for, though, you know, I've had so many of those are no big deal. But when I have a kidney stone attack, I'm walking into the emergency room, stick me. I don't care if I get hooked. If I get hooked, we'll deal with that later. Right now, take the pain away. When the chaos of life hits, all we want to do is take the pain away. And it's so easy to fall into the trap. And I'm talking about good Christian people. It is so easy to fall into the trap of looking for something that's going to make us feel better quickly, as opposed to seeking the guidance of one who has the power to either calm the storm that we're dealing with out here or to calm us in here so we can effectively deal with this out here. Where is your faith? It may be in the shallow fixes offered by the world that, quite honestly, in the moment do make us feel better. But that moment is fleeting. And we find ourselves seeking the next fix. It may be yet another shopping spree, or the next vacation, or the newest item on the market within our hobby or interest. Or it could be in more detrimental ways of attempting to find peace of heart and mind. You may be seeking peace of heart and mind by keeping out the presidential candidate that you fear most this year. Regardless of our attempts to find peace of heart and mind, nothing this world has to offer. Nothing. Nothing this world has to offer will fill that need. How many of us have eaten with the thinking about the holiday season coming up? How many of us have eaten Thanksgiving dinner and we are stuffed to our eyeballs and we stagger into the living room and we say, I cannot eat another thing for a week. And then an hour later, we're at the refrigerator snacking. Even the most fulfilling moments this world has to offer are temporary. Where is your faith? When the heartache strikes, of course we grieve. When life blindsides us with sudden illness or other difficulty, we are often in shock or denial. Of course we are. We human beings are emotional beings. We are chock full of emotion. But when the shock wears off and we settle into reality, are we blown away? Or even in the midst of chaos, does our faith keep us going? I've tried to turn over or start a new habit in the last couple of months, and that habit has evolved into varying forms. But I'm trying to work out at the gym 5 to 6 days a week now. And during the week, I try to make 4 of those days. I try to be there between 6 and 6:30 in the morning, because you just never know what's going to go on during the day. And I was there one morning here not long ago, and there's somebody that I know quite well, and we see each other in the gym and we speak and then we go on about our workouts. One morning I was there about that time of morning, and we had exchanged our normal pleasantries, and I was working out, but we both were between exercises, and this person was walking on to another part of the gym, and short of judging anybody, for no human being is another person's judge, but from all indications that I can tell, this person is a devout practicing Christian. And this person came up to me, and then just out of the blue, they said, in all seriousness, so how are you dealing with the uncertainties of life? How are you dealing with the uncertainties of life? Now, they didn't say it as if I know the answer, do you? It was, I got no clue. How are you dealing with the uncertainties of life? I was blown away. And he asked me that question, then he started walking away, and the only thing I needed to say was, I trust and keep on moving. I trust and keep on moving. Now, ironically enough, the next morning, as I was jogging around the track, that same person came out to me and said, John, this is going to sound weird, but I feel a need to pray for you. And I said, let's go for it. And three sweaty men standing out on a track on a gym about 6:30 in the morning had prayer together, and there was the Holy Spirit. Maybe we connected with each other. But how do you deal with the uncertainties of life? Where is your faith in the uncertainties of life? Off the coast of Greenland, the frigid waters are filled with icebergs of various sizes. And if you stand on the shore and watch them, the small icebergs are moving in one direction and the big icebergs are moving in another direction. What actually is occurring is that the small icebergs are being driven by the wind on the surface, and the large icebergs are being driven by the current underneath. So it is with our faith. The winds change constantly. Calm winds turn into storms, and about the time we have a grasp from the direction the storm is coming, the wind changes. When our hope, when our purpose are determined by the current events of the world, we are constantly upset. When our outlook on life is determined by the attitude we experience with others, we keep a sour attitude. When our mood is determined by whether the aggravations outnumber the smooth transactions, quite frankly, being human, we always stay in a bad mood because you can have five good things and one bad thing, and the bad thing plays on your mind. In short, if our joy or discontent is determined by life, we are always in a state of turmoil. How deep is your faith? The way we are able to truly trust and keep moving in a contented manner through the uncertainties of life is through a faith that is so deep that though the storms rage and the winds shift, we move steadily in the currents of God. And you know, you already know how to do that. But allow me to remind you, for we all know that knowledge sometimes is slow to turn into actions and actions into healthy habits. We read and soak in God's word so that when we need comfort or instruction or yes, even correction or guidance, it seems the exact scripture we need comes to our mind. But guess what? For that scripture to come to your mind, you first have to have read it. We read and soak in God's word. When we pray, which also includes listening, we learn to recognize the voice of God, which for me always has always come through thoughts and feelings. And I don't know about you, but I need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know when my thoughts and feelings are coming in, what may be God's leading and what may be John. Because if it's John, I need to leave it alone. If it's the Holy Spirit, I want to follow it. But it takes wisdom. Only the wisdom the Holy Spirit can give to guide us through which is which. And we said it last week. We remember that God was faithful in the past. And believe me, God has not brought us this far to drop us now. Where is your faith? Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, I could only speak for myself. But I know that though I believe in you and love you and trust you, and I know that you have been there in the past, when the storm hits, it's so easy to become like your original disciples. And for that fear and that panic to creep in. Lord, you know we're all human beings. We all encounter emotions. But gracious Lord, we pray that our faith will be so deep that when the storms come, and sometimes more than one at one time, when the storms come and the winds shift, that though our hearts may grieve, our minds may be perplexed, our soul is still calm because our faith is in you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.
Our final hymn is number 337, Only Trust Him. Let's stand as we sing.